Yeehaw, we're back, and with the new microphone too. Hopefully I sound a little better. I don't know if I do. I won't get out 4 episodes this week because I got bit in the face by my new puppy, and I had to go get 5 stitches. It's right down my lip. It's extends up by my nose. It's a good 2 inches, 2.5 inches long, pretty deep. So yeah, Monday was not the day that I could do this. Anyway, we left off in Genesis on chapter 10. I'm just going to get right back into it. So chapter 10. These are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Jevon. Wow, okay. Gomer's G-O-M-E-R, Magog is M-A-G-O-G, and Madai is M-A-D-A-I, and Jevon, J-A-V-A-N, and Tubal, T-U-B-A-L, and Meshech, M-E-S-H-E-C-H, and Tiras, T-I-R-A-S. Wow, that's a lot. And the sons were born of that, and the sons of Japheth. This is just Japheth's sons. Okay, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai. We're going to say Madai, just so it sounds less like Madias. Anyway. Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tiras. And Gomer's sons were, Ashkenaz, and Riphath, and Togarmah. That's, it's going to be A-S-H-K-E-N-A-Z for Ashkenaz, and R-I-P-H-A-T-H for Riphath, and then T-O-G-A-R-M-A-H for Togarmah? Wow. Yep, so Gomer's sons were Ashkenaz, and Riphath, and Togarmah, I apologize. Togarmah, and Javan's sons, were Elisha, that sounds really feminine, but Elisha, and Tarshish, and Kittim, and Dodanim. Okay, so Elisha, I'm saying that. I know I'm saying that. That's got to be close to right. Elisha, I'm not sure how to make that sound more masculine. E-L-I-S-H-A-H. Not that I mean there's anything wrong with it. Back in the day, I'm not even sure that masculinity in terms like that had anything to do with anything or anybody cared, so I may just be, you know what I mean? Battling a war in my own head. Son of a gun, where'd we go? Yeah, okay, so E-L-I-S-H-A-A. And then Tarshish is T-A-R-S-H-I-S-H. Kittim is K-I-T-T-I-M. And Dodanim is D-O-D-A-N-I-M. Yeah, and those were Javan's sons. However you want, Javan's how I'm going to roll with this. The coasts of the nations were divided by these in their lands, each by his tongue, by their families, and their nations. So each one of these kids had a different language then, maybe? I mean, like the fathers, not the, not their sons. Well, their sons would be speaking the language, I guess, of the father, but, anyway. And Ham's sons, oh God, how many were there again? Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Okay, so, and Ham's sons were Cush, Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan. See, some of these, sounds like we're saying that some of these names we've heard before. So Cush is, again, C-U-S-H. Mizraim is M-I-Z-R-A-I-M. I don't remember hearing that. And Put, which is just P-U-T, which is weird. And the Canaan, which is C-A-N-A-M. We've done that one. So yeah, and the sons were Cush, Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan. And the sons of Cush were Seba and Havilah, and Sabta, and Ramah, and Sabtecha. Oh my goodness. I think that for the sake of this taking forever, I'm just going to stop saying these names or pronouncing them and spelling and all that crap. Because literally, I'm in chapter 10, so anyone can just kind of pick up the book and look at this and get an idea how it's spelled. I'm going to butcher these names just trying to say them, let alone trying to spell them out and pronounce them nonstop. It's kill what's trying to happen here. So we're just going to keep moving forward. So bear with me and get your Bible out to kind of correct or see these names as I go, because they're just going to get kind of harder, it looks like, and I've only got one form of English, so, oh man, it's going to slam into these words, and I apologize to anyone if they take offense to it. So, in Ramah's sons, we're just jumping, so we're picking one son out of each one of these son lines too, which is odd to me, and we're jumping down with them, and I wonder if we're fast-tracking a story here again. Anyway, and Ramah's sons were Sheba and Dedan, and Cush fathered Nimrod. Nimrod, I've heard that name. And he began to be a mighty one in the land. Yeah, okay, yeah. So Nimrod, he ends up being, I don't even remember. We'll find out. I don't want to speak out of place, but yeah, that's like a big name. Sorry, sip of that Juan Valdez. It's a little harder right now. I can only drink out of one side of my mouth. The other side's split in half and lathed with Neosporin. Thanks, Mom. He began to be a mighty one in the land. He was a mighty hunter before Jehovah. So it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before Jehovah. Oh, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before Jehovah. So they, I guess maybe he was introduced like that in front of Jehovah. Like somebody would say, this is the mighty hunter, Nimrod. Jehovah, oh, okay. That's crazy. Like back in that time, you could introduce somebody to God or even yourself, and he would maybe not even know your story. Like he created the thing, but it's multiplying. So it's just kind of some parts were to come. I don't know. I mean, he sees all, so. But, man, that's kind of cool. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Okay. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, and the land of Shinar. From that land he went forth to Assyria, and built Nineveh, and Rehoboth, the city. Rehoboth? Okay. And Calah, and Rezin between Nineveh and Calah, which is a great city. And Mizraim fathered Ludim, and Anamim, and Lehabim, and Naphtahim, and Pathrusim, and Kazlahim, who came from the Philistines, and Kaphtorim. This is one of those moments I gotta pause and just recognize that some of these words I'm just saying are so hard to just say that I'm losing what I'm saying, like the overall message here, because I'm just trying to pronunciate this. But not a lot has happened here other than that city in between the two cities, which was a great city. Rezin? Almost like a Rezin Gosling? The wine? Riesling, I guess? Well, R-E-S-E-N. Maybe not. There's no I in there. Anyway. And Canaan fathered his firstborn Sidon, and Heth, and the Jebusite? Okay. And the Amorite. Oh, I've heard the Amorite. And the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, and the Zemarite, and the Hamathite. And afterwards the families of the Canaanites were rooted. Wow. Okay. Wow, okay, that's a lot. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as you come to Gerar, as far as Gaza, as you go in towards Saddam, and Gomorrah, and Admah, and Zeboim, even to Lasha. Ooh, they said Sodom and Gomorrah. We know what happens to them. Something bad about to happen, y'all. These were the sons of Ham, according to their families, according to their tongues, in their countries, in their nations. And to Shem was born, even to him, the father of all sons of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder. Eber, he's the father of all sons. I never even heard that name. The sons of Shem were Elam and Ashur, and Arpakshad, and Lud, and Aram. And Aram's sons were Uz, and Hul, and Gether, and Mash. And Arpakshad, this one's really hard, Arpakshad fathered Shalak, and Shalak fathered Eber. And two sons were born to Eber. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. And Joktan fathered Almodad, and Shelep, and Hazamaveth and Jera and Hadaram and Uzal and Dikla. Oh God, I hope that's right. And Obal and Ibamel and Sheba and Ophir and Havilah and Jobab. These were the sons of Joktan, and their dwelling was from Mesha, as you go to Sephar, an eastern mountain. These were the sons of Shem, according to their families, according to their tongues, in their lands, according to their nations. Wow, so I guess that's in their history. That's how you would, that's according to their history, this is where these guys came from. Don't think for a second I kept up with any of that. That was a lot of names, man. That was a lot of names. Wow. These were the families of the sons of Noah by their generations, in their nations. And from these, the nations were divided in the earth after the flood. And the whole earth was one lip and of one speech. And it happened, as they traveled from the east, they found a level valley in the land of Shinar. And they lived there. And each one said to his neighbor, "Come, let us make brick and thoroughly burn them." And they had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and make a name for ourselves, that we not be scattered on the face of all the earth." And Jehovah came down to see the city and the tower which the sons Adam had built, the sons of Adam had built. I lost my place. Sorry. That, like I said, this is really small text. Came down, the sons Adam had built. And Jehovah said, "Behold, the people is one, and the lip one to all of them. And this they are beginning to do. And now all of which they have imagined to do will not be restrained from them." Sorry for the pause. I had to flip page. Sorry for the speech too. These stitches are rough. Come, let us go down and confuse their lips, that they cannot understand one another's speech. And Jehovah scattered them from there over the face of all the earth. And they stopped building the city. On account of this, its name is called Babel, because Jehovah confused the lip of the earth and confused the lip of all the earth there. And Jehovah scattered them abroad from there on the face of all the earth. Huh. So that's the whole Tower of Babel. That's a quick story. These guys, and that, you know, on a flat plane, to me that tower, so no matter where you are, you can see it, right? So you always know how to get back to home or Babel, or as far as you can travel, because it's flat and not a ball. Just saying. Anyway, moving forward. Totally lost my place. Sons, according to their nations, they were the families. Da, da, da. The whole of the earth was one. Oh, yeah. So we faced them from the earth. Da, da, da. Abroad from there on the face of the earth. These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and fathered... Oh, God, it's that dude again. Arpachshad, 2 years after the flood. And after he fathered Arpachshad, Shem lived 500 years, and he fathered sons and daughters. And Arpachshad lived 35 years and fathered, wow, only 35. So at 35, he had a kid. Huh. These definitely aren't months then, right? I mean, that just shoots that to down the drain. 35, you're not even 3 years old. Could you imagine? So 35. That's, that's about when I had a kid, huh? I'm 38, I got a 4-year-old, so I was about 34. And fathered Shelach. And after he fathered Shelach, Arpachshad lived 403 years, and he fathered sons and daughters. And Shelach lived 30 years and fathered Eber. And after he fathered Eber, Shelach lived 403 years, and he fathered sons and daughters. And Eber lived 34 years and fathered Peleg. And after he fathered Peleg, Eber lived 430 years, and he fathered sons and our daughters. Or sons and daughters, our daughters. That's, again, I was going to say, they're running through these names. Like, again, it just, and it almost, it, as we hit them again, it sounds like they're doing it just a little bit differently. It trips me out. I'm not following all these names all the way. I don't want to lie. I'm recognizing them, and I'm recognizing some of the main names, but there's definitely characters in here that are coming in and out that it's hard. They're introduced one way, and then they're introduced again directly under a descendant, and it's I'm confused, without a doubt. And I think just this part, when I mean, this is a whole, oh my goodness, you need to create like a family tree, on boards and be able to look at all this as you're going along. And I mean, I bet there's a video on YouTube where someone's done it. I need to look. Note to self, man. Because it is, it's a lot. All right, moving on. And Peleg lived 30 years and fathered Reu. I'm going with Reu. It's R-E-U, Ryu, from like that Street Fighter comes to mind right off the bat. But Reu, we're going to go Reu. And after he fathered Reu, Peleg lived 209 years. He's getting shorter. And he fathered sons and daughters. And Reu lived 32 years and fathered Sarug. And after he fathered Sarug, Reu lived 207 years. And he fathered sons and daughters. It's weird how they don't mention all the rest of them, where they did in so many of these other cases, where the rest of them were, they were kind of consequential. But this one of the sons did this son, and it's like they're sort of picking kind of one out of each bloodline. It's weird. Sarug lived 200, and Sarug lived 30 years and fathered Nahor. And after he fathered Nahor, Sarug lived 200 years, and he fathered sons and daughters. And Nahor lived 29 years and fathered Terah. And after he fathered Terah, Nahor lived 119 years, and he fathered sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran fathered Lot. Oh. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his birth in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abraham and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarah, I guess. S-A-R-A-I. We're going to go with that. And the name of Nahor's wife was Milsa? We'll say Milsa. The daughters of Haran. The father of Milsa and the father of Isa. And Sarah was barren. She had no child. And Terah took his son Abram and Lot, Haran's son, his son's son, and his daughter-in-law, Sarah, his son Abram's wife. And he went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and lived there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Maybe it was Terah, but it sounds more masculine than Terah, doesn't it? Okay, anyway, we're up to chapter 12. And Jehovah said to Abraham, go out from your land and from your kindred, and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and curse the one despising you. Curse the one, huh? Just one? Not those, just one. And in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. And Abram went out, even as Jehovah had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram went out even as Jehovah had spoken to him. So he'd begin walking while he was still speaking, I guess. And I don't know, I guess. I'm not sure if that's what that means, but I guess. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took his wife Sarah and his brother's son Lot and all their substance that they had gathered, and the persons they had gained in Haran. And the persons they had gained in Haran. Is that slaves? How do you gain persons? What does that even mean? I mean, is that followers? Huh. And they went out to go into the land of Canaan. And they came into the land of Canaan. And Abraham and Abram passed through the land as far as the place of Shechem to the oak of Morah. And the Canaanite was then in the land. Huh. And Jehovah appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to you, to your seed. And he built an altar there to Jehovah, who appeared to him. And he moved from there to a mountain on the east of Bethel, and stretched his tent with Bethel toward the sea, and Ai on the east. Or A? It's just an A-I. An A-I on the east. An I or A on the east. And he built an altar there to Jehovah, and he called on the name of Jehovah. And Abram traveled, going on the traveling toward the south. And a famine was in the land, so Abram went down into Egypt to stay there. For the famine was severe in Severe in the land. And when he had drawn near to come to Egypt, he said to his wife Sarah, "Behold, please, I know that you are a beautiful woman to look upon. And it will be, when the Egyptians see you, then they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, and they will save you alive. Please say that you are my sister, so that it may be well with me for your sake, and my soul shall live because of you." And it happened, when Abram had come into Egypt, the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. And Phoah's princes saw her, and they praised her before the Pharaoh. Egypt saw the woman, and she was beautiful. And Pharaoh's princes saw her. Pharaoh's princes. Okay. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. We're going to say Pharaoh's. And they praised her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he treated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses, and men slaves and slave girls and she asses and camels. And Jehovah touched Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called for Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me she is your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? And so I was taking her for my wife. Now then, see your wife. Take her and go." And as Pharaoh ordered his men to him, and as Pharaoh ordered his men as to him, even they sent him and his wife and all that he had away. I mean, that is strange, but who are these people? I mean, if this guy had to say that, if they were just going to kill him and just take his wife, that is so messed up. I don't even know what to say about that. That's a heck of a thing to have to do, right? To have to just lie about your wife because you're going into an area where the men there are just so twisted and lustful that they'll literally kill you just to take your woman or your wife. And Abram went up out of Egypt into Negeb, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot being with him. And Abram was very rich in livestock. Oh, and Lot being with him. And Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, to the place where his tent had been there at the beginning. Between Bethel and it's a capital A with an I, and I'm only spelling this out for you because I really don't know how you would pronounce that on its own. I don't even know. It's A? But, okay. To the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And Abram called on the name of Jehovah there. And Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, for dwelling together, for their wealth was great. So that they could not dwell together. So they had to split up, huh? Separate ranches now. He's too big, too great. And there was strife. Ooh, and wow, my lip. Ow. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite, okay, lived then in the land. Perizzite? We're going with Perizzite. And Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between me and you, and between my herdsmen, and your herdsmen. For we are men, brothers. It is not all the land before you. Please separate from me. If you go to the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the circuit of Jordan, that it was well watered before Jehovah destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even like the garden of Jehovah, like the land of Egypt as you come to Zoar. Then Lot chose... This makes me think that, so, I mean, we're talking about you in Egypt, so this place wasn't like a desert back then, right? I'm talking about its fertile, beautiful ground, I mean... As you come to Zoar. Then Lot chose all the circuit of Jordan for himself, and Lot journeyed east, and they were separated, each one from his brother. And Abram lived in the land of Canaan, and Lot lived in the cities of the circuit, and pitched his tent as far as Sodom. Of the circuit? What? Lived in the cities of the circuit. What is the circuit? and pitched his tent as far as Sodom. And the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before Jehovah, exceedingly so. Ooh. And after that, I mean, that's horrible, but I mean, whoa. And after Lot had separated from him, Jehovah said to Abraham, said to Abram, now lift up your eyes and look northward and southward and eastward and westward from the place where you are. For all the land which you see, I will give to you and to your seed forever. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can count the dust of the earth, then your seed also will be counted. Rise up, walk through the land in its length and in its breadth, for I will give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and came and lived among the oaks of Mamre, which were in Hebron. And he built an altar to Jehovah there. So anywhere that God kind of tells them to go, or these guys to go, they go there and they place themselves where he says to be and they build an altar. Altars are a common theme here. And in the days of... We're going to hit some names here. And in the days of Amraphel... Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Shador Laomer, king of the Elam, and Tidal, king of the nations, they made war with Bera, king of Saddam, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah. So Saddam and Gomorrah stood together, huh? And Shinab, king of Adma, and Shemeber, king of Zeboam? Huh. And the king of Bela, which is Zor. All these were joined together to the valley of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. They served Shador Laomer for 12 years, and the 13th year they rebelled. And in the 14th year, Shador Laomer and the kings that were with him came and struck the giants in Ashtaroth Kamaim and the Zuzim in Ham. And in the 14th year, Shador Laomer and the kings that were with him came and struck the giants. The giants. We got giants again here. Came and struck the giants in Ashtaroth Kamaim and the Zuzim in Ham. I don't know what the Zuzim are, but I wonder if they're giants. And the Emim in Sheva Kiriathim. I wonder if the Emim are giants. Oh, geez, we're going to keep going. And the Horites in the Mount of Seir, as far as Elparan, which is by the wilderness. And they turned back and came to Enmisphat, which is Kadesh. That doesn't even make sense. They turned back and came to Enmisphat, which is Kadesh. Okay. And struck all the country of the Amalekites? Yeah, struck all the country of the Amalekites and also the Amorites who lived in Hazazon, Tamar. And the king of Saddam went out, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Adma, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zor. And they set the battle with them in the valley of Siddim, with Shador Laomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, the king of the nations, and Amraphel, the king of Shinar, and Arioch, the king of Elasar, four kings with the five. And the valley of Siddim was full of asphalt pits, and the kings of... asphalt pits? Was asphalt like a natural occurrence, or had they created these asphalt pits? And the kings of Saddam and Gomorrah fled and fell there. And they that remained fled to the mountain, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, and all their food, and went away. And they took Lot, the son of Abram's brother, and his goods, and left. And he was living in Sodom. And one who had escaped came and told Abraham the Hebrew. For he was living among the oaks of Mamre the Amorite. I thought that was Abram. And the brother of Eshcol and Aner. Okay. And these had a covenant with Abram. So Abram and Abraham are two different people. And when Abram heard that his brother was captured, even then he led out his trained men born of his household, 318, and they pursued as far as Dan. And he divided against them by night, he and his slaves, and he struck them and chased them as far as Hobah, which is on the left of Damascus. Whoa. All right. Take a second to process all of that. That was absolutely a lot. No, I mean, for certain that was a lot. A little stunned by everything that I just read all there. I don't fully understand it all because it's moving so fast, you know, like, wow. Okay, but yeah, so. Which is on the left of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother and also the woman and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after return from smiting Chedorlaomer and the kings which were with him to the valley of Sheba, and being the valley of the king, it being the valley of the king. And oh my goodness, here comes a word, or name. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and the earth, and blessed be the Most High God, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of it all. A tithe? I wonder what a tithe is. I think I've known that before. Right now I have no clue. Is it a piece of it all? And he gave him a tithe of it all. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand to Jehovah, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from all that is yours, from a thread to a shoe latchet, and that you may not say, I have made Abram rich. Nothing for me, only what the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Oh, so he's saying, you know, he won't take nothing. He came here because he was instructed to by God, and he won't be paid for it. You won't say that I was rewarded for any of this. But Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, they're allowed to just get down with whatever they want. Okay. After these things, the word of Jehovah came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will increase greatly. And Abram said, Lord Jehovah, what will you give to me, since I am going childless, and the son of the inheritance of the of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? Whoa, the house is Eleazar of Damascus? He's like asking that question. Is this this is who's going to inherit me? My things? And Abram said, behold, you have given no seed to me, and lo, the son of my house is inheriting of me. And behold, the word of Jehovah came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowel shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look now at the heavens and count the stars. If you are able to see, if you are able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your seed be. And he believed in Jehovah, and he counted it to him for righteousness. I mean, he counted every star in the sky? That would be unbelievable to think someone could do that. Not unbelievable, I mean, far be it for me to say what these people could do back then. We don't quite have the attention span currently, I think, to take care of that task. I guess is more what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I'm just go outside tonight. And if you're in a city where you have a limited escape from your left to your right, from as far back as you can tilt your head to as far down, try and count every dot you see without losing your place. And you know what I mean? Good luck. And he counted it to him for righteousness. And he believed in Jehovah and he counted it to him for... Okay. And he said to him, I am Jehovah who caused you to come out of... however you want to roll with that. I'll go with your. Even though it's confusing, because that's obviously a word when you're talking about your things, or, you know, anyway. You're of the Chaldeans. Come out of your, of the Chaldeans, to give you this land to inherit it. So he's going to give him your? And he said, my Lord Jehovah, by what shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said to him, take for me a heifer, 3 years old. Now, a heifer, I think, is a cow. I think. Take for me a heifer 3 years old, and a she-goat 3 years old, and a ram 3 years old, and a turtle dove, even a nestling. So the turtle dove can be a baby, but we want three of these other ones 3 years old. And he took all of these for him, and he divided them in the middle. Oh, and oh. He killed them? And he laid each piece against one another, but he did not divide the bird. And the birds of the prey came down on the carcasses, and Abram drove them away, and it happed them away. And it happed them? Happed them. All right. I think I might be hotspotting moving forward, so a few of these words I can have a device in my hand to Google the definition of, because happed them? And it happed them away? Drove them away? What is happed them? Okay. And it happened as the sun was setting, and a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, a terror of great darkness falling on him. And he said to Abram, you must surely know that your seed shall be an alien in a land not theirs, in a land not theirs. And they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and I also will judge that nation whom they shall serve. And afterward they shall come out with great substance. Oh, is he talking about the Jews? Turn the page. All right. And you shall come to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. And in the fourth generation they shall come here again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it was. The sun had gone down and it was dark. Behold, a smoking furnace and a torch of fire that passed between those pieces. In that day Jehovah made a covenant with Abram, saying, I have given this land to your seed, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenite and the Kenizzite and the Cadmonite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Rephaim and the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Girgashite and the Jebusite. And that's the end of that paragraph. Okay, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people, right? It's a lot to just be giving away. Excuse the noise real quick. I'm tilting the mic down just a little bit more, hopefully to get a little bit directional noise going on. A little better. It's been up a little bit. It's got like 360 sound. It's new. First time ever using it. I played with it just a little bit to try and see what volume level I need the sound at. This will be the first time I recorded with it, kind of at the same distance I was just doing with my phone, so after this recording, I'll know a little bit better or more about how it did. Hopefully it's picking everything up, because it'll suck if it doesn't. Then I'll just lose another day. I don't really have the time to repeat this process. And hopefully my AC unit in the background isn't being picked up a whole lot. It's supposed to be noise canceling. Beyond the voice. We'll see how that goes too. All right, chapter 16. And Sarah, Abram's wife, did not bear to him. And to her belonged a female slave, an Egyptian, and her name was Hagar. Oh, that's a horrible name for a female. Hagar? Like Sammy Hagar's last name. H-A-G-A-R. Or G-A-R. Hagar? Oh, man. That's brutal. All right. I mean, a beautiful flower, Hagar. You couldn't even get... How do you even come up with that? Anyway. Her name was Hagar. Hagar. I'm not sure. And Sarah said to Abram, see now, Jehovah has kept me from bearing. Go in now to my slave. Oh, whoa. Go in now to my slave girl. Perhaps I may be built up from her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took her slave girl, Hagar, to the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife, after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan. And he went He went into Hagar, and she conceived, and she saw that she had conceived, and her mistress was despised in her eyes. What? And she went into Hagar. So the wife went in and looked and see that she did in fact get pregnant, and she despised her for it, was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said to Abram, "My injury be upon you. I gave my slave girl into your bosom, and she saw that she had conceived, and I was despised in her eyes." Oh, the slave girl despised her, looked at her and was like, "Don't take my child." Oh. I see. "Let Jehovah judge between me and you." But Abram said to Sarah, "See, your slave girl is in your hand. Do to her what is good in your eyes." And Sarah dealt harshly with her, and she fled from before her. Oh, whoa. So, whoa. My interpretation of this, I guess, is she took her to go sleep with her husband so she could conceive a kid. But she wasn't to, like, fall in love or become committed. Even though they had to get married in order to do this, I guess, in front of Jehovah, like, without sinning, right? Because you're supposed to be married to be having sex. So she let them marry, and then when she came back, she was obvious that the girl had kind of had feelings for dude, and her baby didn't want to give her up, and she was mad about this, and she's like, "Okay, fine, I'm not going to take the baby, but you're breaking our covenant, and let God be the judge between you and me." And he was like, no, that's not what's happening here at all. I'm not in love with her, this is her. She's your slave girl. That was the deal that was done. You do with her as you wish. So I'm guessing she took the kid and then punished her. And I mean, so bad that she fled from before her. Did she whip her? I mean, God only knows what she did to her. "And the angel of Jehovah found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, 'Hagar, Sarah's slave girl.'" Sorry, that's my lip. "Sarah's slave girl, where did you come from and where do you go?" And she said, "I am fleeing from the face of my mistress Sarah." And the angel of Jehovah said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand." And the angel of Jehovah said to her, "I will exceedingly multiply your seed so that it shall not be numbered for multitude." And the angel of Jehovah said to her, "See, you are with child and shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because Jehovah has attended to your affliction, and he shall be a wild ass of a man, and his hand against all, and the hand of everyone against him, and he shall live before all his brothers, and he shall..." And she called the name of Jehovah, the one speaking to her, "You, a God of vision," for she said, "Even here have I looked after the one seeing me." On account of this, the well was called the Well of the Living One Seeing Me. Whoa. I bet that's still there today. The Well of the Living One Seeing Me. See, there's crazy names like that on maps all around that area, the biblical area. "Behold, it is between Kadesh and the Barad." And, oh, that's where it's at. "Behold, it is between Kadesh and Barad. And Hagar was born a son to Abram." So she went back and kept sleeping with Abram then too. "And Abram called the name of his son who Hagar bore Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram." Okay. Chapter 17. "And when Abram was 99 years old, Jehovah appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly.' And Abram fell on his face, and God spoke with him, saying, 'As for me, shall be a father of many nations. As for me, shall be a father of many nations, and your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations, and I will make you very fruitful, greatly so.'" I all of a sudden don't feel so bad for messing up that dude's name, Abram's, and calling him Abraham so many times, because looks like he just got renamed to Abraham. How about that? "And I will make you very fruitful, greatly so. And I will give you, nations. I will give you four nations." But it's not the number four. It's just, "I will give you four nations, and kings shall come out of you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your seed after you, and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God to you and to your seed after you. And I will give to you and to your seed after you the land of your sojourning. Oh, sojourning. I need to look that up too. All the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, you shall keep my covenant, you and your seed after you in their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. Whoa! Whoa, so the covenant circumcision with Abraham? This answers a couple questions for me. I was wondering whether or not circumcision was going to be in the Bible. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. Okay. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And a son of 8 days shall be circumcised among you. Every male in your generation, he that is born in the house. Weird, this is the first time I've seen this. Where it says born in the house, this may just be a typo. There's a space between the H and the rest of the word house. The rest of the spelling, which is odd. Hopefully just a typo. 8 days there'll be a circumcision. Okay, I wonder what day I was circumcised on now. I know I was circumcised, just don't know when. It makes me wonder. I'm gonna have to ask my mom and my dad. He that is born in the house. Or bought with the silver from any son of a foreigner who is not of your seed. Oh, so if you, so a slave? If you bought a, is that to imply that some kids you bought were raised as kids and not slaves? I'm very confused by that too. Okay. We'll say they're not slaves. Maybe the barren men were able to buy seeds from, anyway. Surely the child of your house and the purchase of your money must be circumcised. My covenant shall be in your flesh for a perpetual covenant. And an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, his soul shall be cut off from his people. And he has broken my covenant. Damn! Wait a minute. That's harsh words. I know I got a little brother, a half-brother, that isn't circumcised. I don't believe he's circumcised to this day. Maybe he's been circumcised. I don't know. It's not something you talk about, I guess, later in life, or that you announce, hey, I got circumcised. It hasn't been on Facebook. I guess that's what I'm saying. To the best of my knowledge. But it's weird that, so you're saying you're making a covenant. And that the circumcision of the born child shall be done on the 8th day of his birth. And if it's not done, he's broken the covenant. But how can a child that's 8 days, you're 8 days old, how can you make that decision? That just seems kind of harsh. Or is it just to let you know if you don't circumcise your kid that is without that circumcision that their covenant's broken? Can you do it yourself if you find that later in life, like my brother, but parents obviously did not circumcise him. Is it, okay. Is it something he can do later and be covered? And God said to Abraham, you shall not call your wife Sarah by her name Sarah, for Sarah shall be her name. Okay, so Sarah, which was spelled S-A-R-A-I, and I was just going, maybe it was Sarai or I don't know. I was just going with Sarah anyway to keep it simple. It's going to become a very like American version of Sarah with an H on the end. To all those Sarahs out there, it has an H. Just for pronunciation's sake, so Sarah shall be her name. So just like the Abraham thing, I guess, once again, I'm getting lucky here. And I have blessed her and have also given you a son from her. Yes, I have blessed her, and she shall become a nation's king. She shall become nations. Kings of people shall be from her. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Man, so this may be another typo. It's not Abraham. The Abraham here is spelled A-B-R-E-A-H-A-M, Abraham. Fell on his face and laughed. And he said in his heart, shall a child be born to a son of 100 years? And shall Sarah bear a daughter of 90 years? And Abraham said to God, oh, before you. And Abraham said to God, wait a minute. Sarah bear a daughter of 90 years. Sorry, this text is small. Of 90 years. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God said, your wife Sarah truly shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I have established my covenant with him for a perpetual covenant with his seat after him. And so as to Ishmael, I think this is Ishmael. It looks like this is definitely some type of typo where the H isn't all there, and neither is part of the M. So as to Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful. And the fruitful? There's a D between the T and the F in fruitful. Huh. We'll make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. And I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. And he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Wow, I just lost my mouth all over the place there. Okay, so, and Abraham took his son Ishmael and all the children of his house, and all that were bought with his silver. So all the men, and every man among the men of the house of Abraham, and every male among the men of the house of Abraham. And he circumcised the flesh of the foreskins in that same day, even as God spoke to him. So he started the circumcisions while God was still speaking. Okay. And Abraham was a son of 99 years. When being circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And his son Ishmael was a son of 13 years when being circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And in the same day that Abraham was circumcised, so was Ishmael his son, and all the men of his house, born in the house, or bought with silver from a son of a foreigner, were circumcised with him. I'm going to stop there. We're going on to chapter 18 next. I'm guessing that just sounded weird. The mic just made a response I heard. Huh. Weird. Anyway, so 18's next, and it sounds like even if you were older, so the one guy was 90, 13, as long as you're getting circumcised, you're keeping that covenant. So hopefully what it means for anyone out there listening that's not circumcised, finding God that wants that covenant, you literally just need to get circumcised to get it back or to have it. You know what I mean? I would think that you can only be called wrong if you know about it and in your heart believe it. If you've accepted Jesus and you accept, you know, our Father as your, you know, the Creator, then knowing that he has built that covenant. And I gotta wonder too, because it makes it clear that it's the son of Abraham. Now, is he solely responsible for every man on earth right now? So we're all just descendants of them, therefore we do all need to be, or are there other still tribes that aren't Abraham's and they're not beholden to this this covenant? Do they have a different covenant? I mean, I don't know that. I don't know any of that. It did kind of say that you will spread me, but it did say that there was other guys that were made up other people. Anyway, so I'm circumcised. I hope that means that I'm from Abraham's tribe, and with keeping with the covenant. And you know, I find that it's funny because he talked about the firmament and being a sign of the covenant, and then rainbows, which are dome-shaped, being a sign of the covenant, and a male penis, which is a phallus, right, is, it's kind of pointy when it's, before it's circumcised, the way that the skin comes off the end of it, it kind of comes to a point, and when you circumcise it, you're left with a dome, kind of like, you know, like a rainbow and like the firmament, and I wonder if it's to represent, you know, the covenant with God. And it makes me think immediately because, you know, it's called a phallus, and then there's all these monuments around on earth that are phalluses, considered phallus. You know, the Washington Monument, and there's one just like it in London. I believe they're all over. Almost every great capital, I think, has one. And they all come to a point. And that makes me wonder, is that nation's phallus uncircumcised, signifying or showing, you know, is that a symbol that they have no covenant with God, that they are, you know, and that they are a godless nation, or that their nation's representing or following one of the other covenants, or maybe a different God, the God of light, you know? I don't know. But it does make me wonder. I think that is extremely odd that that would be pointed out in the Bible, that it would be done to you yourself, to a man, that the overall arching shape is a dome that you're ended with, you know what I mean? That's the theme. And then that there would be, and that the name of it, you know, of your penis would also be a phallus. And that then there would also be all these phalluses around Earth erected by governments that are uncircumcised or undomed. I just think that is super odd. If it's a direct symbol of that, you know what I mean? Then why is it not? And it makes me, I gotta go look. It's like, is that statue? Is it Michelangelo, whatever that statue is? Is that circumcised? Are most of the paintings, like the older times, you know, since the Renaissance, man, I'm beginning to wonder. I've been seeing a lot of stuff on YouTube about the mud flood and timelines and things of that nature and giant skeletons and things that they find, and the Bible mentions the giants. And it hasn't gone crazy with the Nephilim, but it's definitely talking about giants, and there's just no mistaking that word, right? It's a giant. It's not like it's a word you're going to need to look up and get a greater understanding of. They're calling them giants, just flat out. So there's really no confusion there, which is what I'm finding with a lot of this. It's really direct. And then there is some lost in translation with some of these words are just wow. And they throw around so many names and so many different sites that it becomes a jumble really fast. I'm trying to hold on to the general story, which I am, but I believe that, you know, even when I'm done with this, I think reading the Bible is going to be something that I will do just repeatedly. Going to have to get a better under you. Because sometimes when you read something, again, after you've already read it, you pick up more of it. And then I've found a lot of times, if you read something a lot, you'll pick up a lot in there. And then you can almost begin to infer kind of your own understanding, which is probably what, you know, cult leaders do with the Bible. So I will absolutely be careful along the way too, because it's a book for learning word, not a book for changing or... You know, you're just preaching the word of God. If you are preaching it, you should never be altering that in any way to fit your needs or at any time to better go along with what you believe to be an understanding that's greater than or different, especially if it's far-reachingly different from what's out there. Unless you have unbelievable results that can be, you know, practiced by everybody else. And I'm not talking about magic. I mean, like some direct line things, you know, if there's something that gets back to nature. I mean, I believe we were all part of nature. I think I've mentioned that before. And if there's anything that we could do, there's something that we can recreate that would help us all remember in some way, then I would think it would work like that. That it would, if there was something that was genuinely that true, that once it was perceived, known, or shown, that would spark that kind of inherent natural memory. Maybe shake some of the calcium or the fluoride off of your brain, your pineal gland, and it would just instantly be like just remembering, you know, anything that you was super important or just you always, like riding a bike. You don't think about it when you don't do it. It's never on your mind. You never have to retrain yourself for it, to prepare for it. You can just be walking, you know, 30 years after you rode a bike for the first time, see a bike and be like, oh man, I'm gonna ride that the rest of the way, pick it up and ride it. So I think, yeah. Anyway, this was fun. I thoroughly enjoy this. I will be back tomorrow. I hope this recording came out good. And all right, you guys have a great day and may God be with all of you. God bless. We'll be right back.